Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs. Over the past couple of months, this radio program has featured lessons dealing with the subject of overcoming sinful attitudes. We've used God's Word to develop a game plan that will affect every facet of our life. It'll make us better friends. It'll make us better mates. It'll make us better students, better employers and employees, even better retirees. This fail-safe plan is based on the promise found in the Book of God, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. There God, through the Apostle Paul, tells us, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." Our conclusion has been that since Scripture will show us the perfect way of completeness, it's an invaluable source of training in every respect. It's the way we turn a fearful personality into one of trust. It's the way we convert an angry disposition into one of love and respect. It's the way we overcome depression and every other serious attitudinal malady of life. We well could say, it's a way of life. Today's lesson completes this series of study. After learning what the Bible has to say concerning the sinful attitude of selfishness, we will introduce, Lord willing, a new field of study in our next broadcast. Let me remind you, it's now possible to download any of the Go and Teach programs through our updated website. Simply go to www.montevistacoc.com for access. More information about this service will be given at the conclusion of today's lesson. The other day, I saw an interesting definition for the word selfishness. It said, "Selfishness is the attitude others display when they won't let you have your way." Have you ever known something that you should do, like invite somebody over, or visit somebody in the hospital, or call on someone that needs encouragement, but you didn't do it? Have you ever realized that you shouldn't buy something, but you went ahead and bought it? Have you ever wanted someone to do something so bad that you made their life miserable until they did it? Well, if so, you've lost some battles to selfishness. Join the real world. When you lose a battle to selfishness, you do what self wants, when self wants, and how self wants, regardless of its effect on other people. Whether you and I realize it or not, we're in a life and death struggle with selfishness. It started the day that we were born. It won't end until the day that we die. You and I came into the world demanding our way. You didn't care what time of day or night it was when you were born. You didn't care whether your mom was cold or tired or hungry or starving. As long as it went the way that we wanted, and we got what we wanted, we were satisfied. As babies, we didn't sin in this selfishness because our lack of knowledge, our lack of awareness, lack of self-control kept us innocent. In fact, this selfishness was simply our natural man uncontrolled. That natural man will battle to remain uncontrolled the rest of our lives. Satan encourages us to selfishness. He feeds it every day that we live. He feeds it to us through television commercials, through song lyrics, through radio programs, through modern-day philosophy. Satan is the true author of "Watch Out for Number One." It may cost more, but I'm worth it. I owe it to myself. I do this for me. The most important person to me is me. And you know, he makes it sound pretty reasonable and logical, doesn't he? We probably face more battles with this sinful condition than with any other. There are four primary battles that we face, I think. First, the skirmish comes between us and our parents. Parents fight hard to make their children share when children don't want to share. They make us wait our turn when we want to go to the head of the line. They make us consider the welfare of others when making decisions. The second battle is waged with our peers. Oftentimes in school rooms or on the athletic fields, in the hamburger joints as we vie for the attention of the cheerleader. In those instances, we're rebuffed by those that are stronger until we either learn how to control our selfishness or hide it. The third battle is with family and friends and business associates. Those battles are fought in material conflict, business deals, and family feuds. The consequences of those are oftentimes serious and long-lasting. The fourth battle with selfishness is ours alone. The war is fought in self-indulgence on the field of manipulation in the auditorium of number one. This is fought every time we want to do something that will have unhappy consequence or be inconsiderate to other people. The degree of difficulty we have in overcoming selfishness will depend, at least somewhat, on the success of the first two fields of battle. If our parents and peers were successful against our selfishness, the other two may be nothing more than containment. Containment of desire that has already been suppressed. But I'll tell you, if selfishness in those early days was responded to by stubbornness and rebellion, if we were successful in being selfish, then our life, probably even this day, contains a large portion of selfishness. If we continually experience conflict with family, if we continually experience the difficulty of getting along with friends or authorities, if we just can't seem to get along, we have symptoms of selfishitis. What can we do? First, we need to know the enemy. We need to learn to recognize selfishness in all of its forms. For instance, I may feel that I'm having trouble controlling my tongue, but at least I'm not selfish. But any time we let an uncontrolled tongue hurt others, we're displaying basic problems with selfishness. We need to see it for what it is. Think of selfishness as Medusa, a goddess of Greek mythology. You can picture her, can't you? In place of hair, her head was covered with hissing snakes. Now picture each snake as a sin growing out of a core of selfishness. For example, false pride is a sin rooted in selfishness. If anything is self-centered, pride is. Even unselfish acts can be selfish when performed for personal glory. Another selfish sin might be unholy sex. The misuse of sex is a primary act of selfishness. Men demanding of their wives submission regardless of feelings. Women who withhold as a result of laziness or punishment relations with their mate. Adultery and fornication are just uncontrolled, selfish desires. Greed, perhaps the easiest to identify, it takes what it has the power to take and to get regardless of others, with no regard for how it hurts. Laziness is a form of selfishness. What is laziness except doing what you want instead of what you should, which adds up to selfishness? Irresponsibility, nothing more than acts of self-indulgence, a form of selfishness. Being constantly late is an act of selfishness. Doesn't matter if it's socially accepted, it's selfish. Oblivious or overt or obvious, selfishness is very strong and capable of controlling, even destroying us. But even more dangerous is subtle selfishness. For example, there's the my way. If a person is clever enough to subtly manipulate, it's usually an acceptable form of selfishness in the society in which we find ourselves. Another is love. When selfishness controls your life, it produces a self-serving type of love. Not the kind of love that you read about being recommended and explained in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. The selfish kind of love is based on possession and domination. It should be based on sacrifice and giving. Taking advantage or imposing is selfish. It's an abstruse form of selfishness, usually practiced on people that are too kind to resist. You and I could go on and on with different profiles of selfishness, because everyone has the problem to some degree. We also are very creative, aren't we, in ways to camouflage it. We need to ask ourselves, how does God deal with the problem? Well, He uses a method that I'll call the do method. In other words, overcome selfishness by learning how to be or do selfless things. God doesn't try to reason us out of selfishness. Selfishness doesn't listen to reason. It's immune to reason. Instead, God works us out of selfishness into selflessness. An example of that is found in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verse 17 and 18. Look at that text with me. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. First, God teaches us where our hope and our priorities ought to be. And then He commands us, do good, do be generous, do be willing to share. Another example is found in the 15th chapter of the book of Romans, beginning in verse 1. There the Apostle Paul wrote, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each one of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached fell on me." Verse 1 tells us how God wants us to be, doesn't it? Verse 2 tells us what God wants us to do. And verse 3 tells us why God wants us to do it. There are other scriptures that teach the same principle. Consider, if you would, Luke, the 3rd chapter in verse 11. There the Bible reads, "He answered and said to them, He who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none, and he who has food, let him do likewise." Again, in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 28, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." In 1 Corinthians 10, in verse 24, "Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being." In all of those passages, God commands selflessness. We often find our want-tos stronger than our should-dos. Have you ever noticed that? Thankfully, God has provided Christians with weapons to strengthen our should-dos. The most powerful weapon against selfishness is denial. It comes in several models. Parents exercise denial. Peers exercise denial. Denial is exercised by law enforcement and by rules of the game. But self-denial is that which God provides, the denial of self. That's the most powerful of all denials, but it's the hardest to implement. Let me give you an illustration. Let's say, for instance, that I love Hershey bars, and that would not be far from the truth. Let's say that I'm allergic to Hershey's, and they cause a serious health problems for me. And I know that there's this Hershey bar in the refrigerator that I just want so badly. So I hire armed guards to stand before the door of the refrigerator, and they have their Uzis and big dogs that would attack anyone that tries to break through the perimeter. That is denial. But let's say that that refrigerator is not guarded and that there are no dogs. Let's say that the only thing that keeps me from inflicting harm to myself through eating of that Hershey is self-denial. That's the kind of denial that God wants us to have. Let's say, for instance, that you want a new suit or some new golf clubs, but your wife needs a new dress. You don't have the money for both. By getting the new dress, you deny yourself and selflessly give to another. That's striking a blow against selfishness. Remember the goddess Medusa that we introduced earlier? Each hissing stake represents an aspect of selfishness. Every time you and I deny ourselves for the good of another, we wound a snake on the head of selfishness. As we continue to weaken the enemy by blows of denial, she loses much of her power to control our lives. Each success strengthens us. Each success weakens the enemy. Eventually, the time will come when our blows will even get through the outer defenses and hit directly on the head of the problem. There's another example that's meaningful to me. Let's say it's a Wednesday and you've had an exhausting day at work. You can tell that you're going to have a headache when you get home. You can tell how wonderful that lazy boy recliner in front of the big high-definition television is going to be. You want so badly to stay home and just relax and regain your strength. But you think about it, and you decide that you'll shake yourself. You'll put on a smile and you'll go to Bible study. You determine on the way there that you'll be an excited student, that you're going to encourage every person that you meet. What you've done is landed a blow to the head of selfishness. You've landed a blow to the head of selfish sin by denying yourself and putting your emphasis on studying God's Word and encouraging those that need your encouragement. Denying yourself something and denying self are both defensive weapons. They stand against the attacks of selfishness. But you and I can't win with defense alone. You and I have to use the ultimate weapon to win, and that's self-sacrifice. Remember, if you would, Romans the 12th chapter, verse 1 and 2. There the Apostle Paul wrote, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That passage involves more than occasional acts of sacrifice. It entails total sacrifice. You know, when comparing the law of Moses with the law of Christ, there is a distinct difference in the subject of sacrifice. If you'll remember, during the law of Moses, a person who wanted to sacrifice went to his herds and picked an animal that was without blemish. He took that animal to the temple and gave it to the priest to sacrifice it to God. When he gave that animal for sacrifice, he could turn around and leave having worshiped. But you and I cannot do that, for you see, you and I are the sacrifice. We're the ones that crawl on top of the altar called life and give our total existence, our total person, to God above. Christianity, my friend, is not a title. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle which is God-oriented. One of the most famous speeches ever made by a president of the United States went like this: "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." You and I can make a spiritual application from that. We can say, "What can I do for God?" instead of, "What do I have to do for God?" It's the hand that reaches out to help, not the hand that is waiting to be grabbed. It's the heart that serves any time, not just when it's convenient. That's what God wants. Let me share with you Philippians, the second chapter, beginning in verse 5 and reading through verse 8. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as man, he humbled himself, and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross." Now consider verses 9 and 10. Which tell of the reward for such an attitude. "Therefore also God highly exalted him, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth." In every war, the spoils goes to the victor. Our war with selfishness is no exception. If selfishness wins, we lose our soul. But if we win, we're promised a bounty beyond compare. In Matthew, the 19th chapter, verse 29, Jesus said, "And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life." In Luke 18, verse 29 and 30, Jesus said, "As surely I say to you, there is no one that has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. In Mark 10, verse 29 and 30, Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one that has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100 times now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and land with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life." To sum up, selfishness surely has its rewards, but selflessness gains 100 times more. John 12 and verse 25, Jesus says, "He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal." The choice is ours. Do we do it our way, the selfish way, or do we live our life God's way, the selfless way? I thank you for your time today. I pray that our study together was of value to you. Remember, dispositions and habits which have taken years to develop will not change overnight. Also be aware that Satan does not support a program of self-improvement. Temptations will be set before us and roadblocks attempting to derail us, turn us into the abyss of failure, we will see continually. Perseverance is essential. Prayer is absolutely the foundation of success. Philippians 4 and verse 13 needs to be put into our heart. There the Bible says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Did you know that this Go and Teach broadcast is available for your listening 24/7? If tuning into KXXT 1010 on the AM dial on Sunday mornings at 8:30 isn't convenient, here's what you can do. You can access our website by going to www.montevistacoc.com. That's www.montevistacoc.com. On the left side of the page, you'll see these words, "More Information," or "More Info," I think it says, and that will be underlined. Click there, and 3 choices will appear. Listen now, request a tape or CD, or archived broadcast. Simply select the choice you're interested in. If you want a tape or a CD, be sure and send us on the email form shown your name, mailing address, and title of the broadcast you want. There's never a charge for any of these services. If you want to download past lessons directly from this website, you can do that also. Select the archived broadcast link and follow the directions shown on the screen. I hope that you have a nice day. I want to include in the broadcast, since it's the last broadcast of this series of lessons, just exactly what the titles were of these lessons, so that if you want to order them, you'll know what to ask for. Lesson number 1, we dealt with overcoming sinful anger. In lesson number 2, we dealt with overcoming resentment and bitterness. Then we had a lesson concerning overcoming fear and worry. That was followed by lesson 4, which is overcoming depression. Then we studied how to overcome sinful anger. Again, it was a repeat of the first lesson. In lesson 6, we had a review and included in that lesson how to overcome a sinful tongue. In lesson 7, we devoted our study to overcoming sinful pride. In lesson 8, overcoming jealousy, envy, and covetousness. In lesson 9, we studied how to overcome a rebellious heart. In lesson 11, we studied overcoming blame shifting or making excuses. And then today, overcoming selfishness. Lesson 10 was a lesson outside the general theme of overcoming sinful attitudes. It was presented because of the emotions that were aroused in thinking about September the 11th, 2001. That lesson was entitled, "Will God Continue to Bless America?" Any of these lessons are available to you by contacting us at www.montevistacoc.com. Have a nice day. My prayer for us, that you and I, is that we might have an unusual opportunity this week to display a bright light in our life for Jesus Christ, the one who died for our sins. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.